Another mailbag episode where I answer all the questions that you guys sent in for today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you have not already, head to our YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. We're on our road to 3,000 subscribers. Continuing to show Locked On, we're the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. So again, if you haven't already, as a YouTube channel, Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. Today we got a mailbag episode. I answer all the questions that you guys sent in to be answered on the Locked On Pistons podcast. We got about 30 questions. We'll see how many we can get through. I'm going to store some of these away for later. If we don't get through all of them, we'll try to answer them in a mailbag podcast next week. Or maybe I'll just make it some of these questions a topic for a podcast tomorrow or one day next week or et cetera. So we'll try to find a way to make sure we get all 30 questions somehow answered at some point on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But before we answer some of your questions, I actually have a question for you guys that I need answered. Do you guys want to see the return of Are You Drinking the Kool-Aid? I don't know if a lot of you guys were here for that segment last year, but during last year we had a segment called Are You Drinking the Kool-Aid, where you guys send me in a take. I tell you guys, am I drinking the Kool-Aid? Get it? Kool-Aid. You guys get it, whatever. I tell you whether I'm drinking it or not. It was a lot of fun. But we haven't done it in a while, so I'm thinking about bringing it back this offseason. If you guys want to see that return, let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. But without further ado, let's get into some of these questions. For those of you guys watching on YouTube, this is not a good hair day. Not a good hair day. Just got home from work. Not looking good. Anyways, all right, let's go ahead and get into these questions. This one is from Fueled by Motown on Twitter. It says, if you knew you needed Jeremy Grant in a sign trade for DeAndre Ayton, would you bypass more realistic offers that you discussed in your latest episode where I talked about possibly trading Jeremy Grant for 16 and Bogdanović from the Atlanta Hawks to be able to pursue Ayton? Or are you trading Jeremy Grant for a realistic, less slam dunk of a package knowing that Ayton won't be realistic? That's a good question. So I think it all depends about where – like, obviously, I don't have this insight like Troy Reaver does. I know some stuff. I don't get confused. I know some things. But I obviously don't have the insight and the knowledge that Troy Reaver has about the whole DeAndre Ayton situation. So if Troy Reaver feels like he has a legitimate chance to get DeAndre Ayton and he feels comfortable and he feels confident in that chance, but he knows that Jeremy Grant is going to be needed to get it done, it depends about how confident Troy Reaver is. If Troy Reaver is very confident that he can get that done, then you hold on to Jeremy Grant and try and make it happen. Even if it doesn't happen, if you feel that confident that you can get this to work and you think it will happen, then you hold on to Jeremy Grant. But if you're not like close to, I'd say like 60, 70% confident that you can get that done, I think you make a deal for one of my more realistic trades that I've brought up on draft night. It sounds like they really like Keegan Murray. If Keegan Murray's there at 5, draft Keegan Murray, trade Jeremy Grant for like I said, 16 Bogdanović, maybe even 12 to OKC. Maybe you can trade Jeremy Grant somewhere in the first round. And get another first-round pick and bring someone else along the board. Maybe somehow Portland gives you 7 for Jeremy Grant, even though it sounds like it's not going to happen. Maybe that happens, you do that trade. So I think it all depends about how confident the front office and Troy Reaver are in their ability to get DeAndre Ayton. For me, you'd have to be around 60, 70% confident you can get it done. If you're not at that level, I think you have to make a deal that's more realistic on draft night. Next question is from Piston of the Day. If you could only retain 6 Pistons for next season, who would they be? All right, so I'm going to assume that I can trade the ones that I'm not keeping. So, like, it's not like if you don't keep Jeremy Grant, you're just releasing him to free agency. Like, I'm going to assume I can trade Jeremy Grant instead of keeping him. So, if that's the case, I'm going to go ahead and go with Cade, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, Isaiah Livers, Killian, and Marvin Bagley. I think those are the 6 I'd keep. I don't think it would actually be that hard of a decision too. Because a lot of the other guys are like veterans or guys who may not even come back anyways next year. And Frank Jackson, Hamidou Diallo, like I said, vets and Corey Joseph and Kelly Olynyk and Rodney Magruder. The only one that's in the toss-up is Jeremy Grant. And that depends where you stand on him. Are you keeping Jeremy? You want him to be on the roster next year or you want to trade him? If that's the case, I think you let Marvin Bagley walk and Jeremy Grant replaces him. But I'm not one of those people that want Jeremy on the roster next year, so I'll trade Jeremy. I'll keep those six. Fun question, though. Next one is from Jacob Deming. He says, would you rather have Mitchell Robinson, Mo Bamba, or neither on the roster next year, and why? How do they fit with the team, and what concerns would you have with these players? I would take either Mitchell Robinson or Mo Bamba. I think Mitchell Robinson is probably a little bit more effective as a role man and as a lob threat. Mitchell Robinson probably is a little bit more polished defensively, I'd say. I listened to some Orlando Magic guys, and the draft guy that we have on the podcast from Lockdown All the Time, Richard Stamen, is actually a Magic person, a Magic fan, and they don't talk very highly of Mo Bamba. Says he averaged a lot of blocks, but a lot of them aren't really him going after him. It's kind of just people coming into a seven-footer and like, oh, God, he's 7 feet. I probably shouldn't have done this. Whereas Mitchell Robinson, he chases a lot of things. I know he cut down on trying to chase things, and it kind of cut back on his fouls in a certain aspect. But I would take either one of those guys. If I had to pick one, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little interested in Mo Bamba more because he can shoot from beyond the arc, and he's a seven-footer who can catch lobs around the rim. So that kind of intrigues me, even though I know he's not very polished and he still has, like, facets of his game that needs to be like raw skills that need to be developed for him to be like a full-time starter or like a full-time rotational piece in a rotation. But Mo Bamba would be who I'd pick. And that's why I think they would fit. Both of those guys fit with the team, to answer your second question. I think they both fit with the team because the team needs some kind of offensive threat at the center position that doesn't involve completely sacrificing your defense. Isaiah Stewart doesn't give you anything offensively, but he's defensively. Marvin Bagley gives you that vertical threat, but he's awful defensively. So they need someone who is capable of not being a complete liability at one of those ends and can give them that lob threat or vertical threat or some kind of offensive presence. Mitchell Robinson, he can give you that lob threat rolling to the rim. He's also not a liability defensively. Mo Bamba is 7 feet, can hit from beyond the arc. He can finish around the rim and dunk around the rim, get some lobs around the rim. He also isn't just a complete lack of liability as well on the defensive end. So I'd take both of those guys. I think that's pretty clear why they fit with the team. I think that you guys have heard me say this multiple times. I think that's the number one need I have for the Pistons is attacking that center position and figuring that out, because I do not believe Isaiah Stewart's the answer there. This is the next question, and then we'll go to the ad break. This one's from Pistons Don't Miss. He says, who is the lowest prospect you'd be okay to draft at 5? I don't know. I mean, it depends. I mean, everyone's going to have different prospects. Like a low prospect to one person may not be a low prospect to another person. I guess answering that question, I guess I'd go Benedict Mathurin. If you're looking at Tankathon's mock draft, they have him at 9. I think he'd be the lowest person, even though I see some people starting to think that he may get picked as high as 5 to the Pistons. Some people are projecting to go 5. So I think Mathurin is the lowest guy. You got Sharp in that range. You got Murray, Griffin, Mathurin. But if we're going, I just pulled up Tankathon just for whatever. I think Mathurin would be the lowest one I'd want to take at 5 if we're going off of this mock draft right here. When we come back, we'll answer the rest of your guys' questions, see how many more we can get to. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's not impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questions like, is your Odyssey an LX, and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home or in your pocket by using your phone. Save time and money when you're using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, but only $216 from Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business that's been doing it for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every single customer, and they have everything that you could possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, or even a new carpet. Go explore the easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. So again, go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. And also just to let you guys know, the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft starts June 16th with over 50 insiders. Nothing equals the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. The Locked On NBA Big Board Draft Experts, plus the Odyssey Insiders. First pick is June 16th, Search Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and follow now so you don't miss a singular pick. It's going to be a lot of fun this year. We had some trades happen in this one. I told you guys I tried trading Jeremy Grant. We weren't able to get nothing done. But that's going to be a fun one to listen to. So make sure you guys go check that out when it comes out June 16th. We are only 14 days away from the draft, guys. This is going by fast. It's almost here. Hopefully when the draft comes around, I'm a happy person because the Warriors just won a championship. If the Celtics won the championship, I'm a very sad person. It's not looking good for the Warriors right now. Steph needs some help. Someone help him, please. Help my guy out. Someone, please. Anyways, let's get back to the podcast. Actually, there's something I want to talk about from the NBA Finals that Pistons fans need to pull away and it needs to be like addressed to the Pistons team moving forward. Like, what's the takeaway from the finals that the Pistons need to put into their team building and foundation moving forward? I think there's one thing that's very clearly popped up in the NBA Finals and throughout the playoffs that I think the Pistons need to make sure they build around and continue building towards. We'll talk about that probably in an episode next week, but make sure you guys stay tuned for that. Let's go ahead and get into some of these questions now. This one's from Intelligent Sports Fan, funny name. Says, what are your expectations for Isaiah Livers going into next season, and where do you think his NBA comparables are for floor-ceiling perspective? And after this last season, are there still hopes that Garza could become a consistent piece of the rotation? Luka Garza, no, I don't have any hope that he could be a consistent part of the rotation. He's too slow defensively. He works hard. His father's a great person. I had him on the podcast last season. It was an incredible podcast. They're a great family. His work ethic is unbelievable. He works nonstop. But at the end of the day, he's too slow defensively. He's too much of a liability defensively. And he's not good enough offensively to overcome that. I don't have any hope for him to be a consistent piece of the rotation. That was a concern coming into the draft. That's why he dropped as far as he did. And nothing we saw in his rookie season would make you believe that that's something that will change. Again, for how bad he is defensively, he'd have to be like otherworldly offensively to make up for it. I just don't know if that's like possible to happen. So I don't know. I mean, if it happened, obviously we'd be happy, but I don't think that anyone should really have a legitimate, you know, reason, or nothing from this past season should give anyone a reason to believe that could possibly happen. So I don't think that's the case. As far as it goes to Isaiah Livers, I think Isaiah Livers will be in the rotation, steadily in the rotation this upcoming season. As far as why I think his like ceiling or floor could be, I don't know. I think his ceiling could possibly be like a fifth starter, a guy who's like the fifth best player in the starting lineup, who's just there because he's a great shooter, talks on defense, knows his rotations, is going to make the right plays, doesn't try to be more than what he is, and just connects the team. I could see that happening for him. That's his ceiling. As far as his floor, I can't see him ever falling out the league because he's just such a good shooter and he knows how to play the game and he talks and knows how to rotate defensively, etc. So I don't think there's any way he could be out the league. I think his floor could be like guy who's in and out of the rotation, like your 10th, 11th guy on your roster. I think realistically moving forward with the Pistons, I think he'll probably be like the 8th guy in your rotation. Get consistent minutes in the rotation. A guy can start some games for you. You won't, you hopefully won't miss a beat when it comes to picking up on plays and defensively and spacing, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's where he's at right now. I think everyone should be extremely happy about that. I love Isaiah Livers. I think he's a nice piece to have. He's not going to be some superstar. He's not some building block, but I think he's an incredible piece to have. You need rotation players. You don't just need stars. You need build a rotation. I think if you can get rotation players out of second round picks, you should be extremely happy. I think they did that with Isaiah Livers. So I really like Isaiah Livers. I'm interested to see what he does this upcoming season for the Pistons. Next question is going to be from Steve Font. It says, what's in store for Killian Hayes this upcoming year? Can he fill in and contribute at the shooting guard combo position, or is he destined to be a backup point guard? For this upcoming season, and I'm sorry if you guys can hear my dog barking in the background, by the way. He's going crazy, so I apologize for that. I forgot to say something about that. Anyways, as far as it goes for Killian, I think he's destined to be a backup point guard with the Pistons this season and probably moving forward as long as he's with Detroit. Now, obviously, this depends on if he improves, but I said this earlier in the offseason. I believe I said as soon as the offseason ended that no matter how much Killian improves, like if Killian became like a 35% three-point shooter and he got aggressive, he was getting to the basket and he was playing really well, that stretch we saw at the end of last season for like the last month and a half of the season is legit, and he becomes much more aggressive offensively while still being that great defensively and can become a shooter from beyond the arc. All those things come together and he actually starts to show he's the 7th overall pick. I don't think he's ever going to be more than a backup point guard for the Pistons. I don't think they want him as the starter next to Cade. Even again, like I said, even if he like improves and gets to a point where he could go to another team and possibly hit the ceiling of the seventh overall pick, I don't think that he's going to get that chance with the Pistons no matter what. I think they have, based on the reports and the rumors, they have an idea of the type of guard they want next to Cade Cunningham. They want a flat-out scorer. I don't think Killian will ever be a flat-out scorer no matter what. Even if he hits his ceiling, I don't think his ceiling was ever going to be just a flat-out scorer. So I don't think he fits the archetype they're looking for. So I think he's going to be destined as a backup point guard for the Pistons, no matter how much he improves. I don't think he's even going to get a chance, really, to take that starting shooting guard position. So that's where I'm at with Killian Hayes, though. That doesn't mean I'm out on Killian. I'm very still in on Killian. I just don't think he's ever going to get – I don't think he really has a chance, no matter how much he improves, to be a starting shooting guard for the Pistons this upcoming year. This question is from Rob Fritz. He says, what is your nightmare scenario for the Pistons offseason? Signing Colin Sexton. I'm leaving it at that. I'm not saying anything else. All you Colin Sexton lovers, I know you guys are out there. I know you guys will be listening. You guys could be mad at me for that. I don't care. It's what it is. If the Pistons sign Colin Sexton to $20-plus million this offseason, I'll be incredibly disappointed and frustrated. Next question is, with teams like the Celtics, it's from Bub on Twitter. It says, with teams like the Celtics, Memphis, Mavs, Golden State, Cleveland, and Bucks looking like they will continue to be strong for 3 to 4 years down the road, when do you see the Pistons potentially becoming contenders, and how hard do you think it will be for the Pistons to get over that hump? It's going to be incredibly hard. It's always hard to become a contender. It's tough. They're going to have to do a lot of things right and get a lot of moves right, make a lot of the right decisions in free agency, trades, draft, and they're going to have to get lucky. There's always a lot of luck with it, too. So it's going to be incredibly hard. As far as when do I think they could possibly become a contender, I'd say probably the 24-25 season is the earliest I could see it happening. I think they could become a playoff team as early as 23-24, but the earliest they can be like maybe a contender is 24-25. That's the earliest I can see that happening. It also depends on how good Kay Cunningham becomes, how great he becomes, how quickly he becomes that great. Like if he's able to hit Luka Doncic levels, for example, and I hate to hold him to that bar because it's not realistic for every prospect to get to Luka that quickly. But if he has that big of a jump for Luka did year one to year two, then year two to year three, then the Pistons could possibly become contenders if the Pistons surround him with the right pieces quickly. But again, it just depends on how quick Cade becomes great, how quickly he becomes one of the top 15, 10 players in the NBA. Now, I don't feel like Pistons fans, I don't want Pistons fans, I don't want the front office either, to rush him into that. Not everyone becomes a top 10, top 15 player immediately. Like, not everyone's Luka Doncic. Do I think Cade's going to be that? Yes, I 100% believe that Cade's going to end up being a top 10, top 15 player. But I don't know if it's going to be next year. I don't know if it'll be 2 years from now. I don't know if it'll be 3 years from now. It could be 4 or 5 years from now, maybe 5, 6 years from now, when he's 24, 25. Like, you see it with Jason Tatum. The Celtics have been knocking on the door for the longest time. And Jason Tatum hasn't entered the quote-unquote superstar group, or when people start considering him a superstar, until he was 24, 25 years old. So I know people are happy. The fan base is extremely happy. And actually, we should make this a topic. This is a great question, by the way. I want to make this a topic for a whole pocket to itself in the future. But I know everyone's excited that we have Cade. I'm excited. Cade's going to be great down the road. I think he's going to be a potential MVP for the Pistons of this league. But it's not going to happen. It may not happen as quick as people think or people want it to happen. Waiting, it taking like 6-7 years is not unnormal. It's not going to be something that's, oh God, he's not living up to the hype. It takes a lot of players till they're like 24, 25 to get there. Not everyone is Luka Doncic and becomes a superstar at 21 years old. It's not going to happen. So if Cade gets there that quickly, then that obviously changes when they become a contender. But I think I want to become more realistic. I want to be more realistic. That's a better word. I want to be more realistic and not hold Cade to this bar to where if he doesn't hit superstar by 24 or 21, he's a bust or something in people's eyes. I think that's utterly absurd. So you just got to wait. Basically, my answer is Pistons fans have to wait. When Cade becomes great, when he becomes legitimately great in this league, that's when they'll be contenders. Whether that's 2 years from now, 4 years from now, or 5 years from now. You wait until that happens. Wait for his development because it will happen. You just got to wait and see whenever it happens. When it does happen, that's the year I think they take that step. So, I don't know. I think the earliest it will happen is 23-24, though. That's the earliest I can see it. 23-24. Next one is from JT Olson. We'll answer this one, and then we'll get to the ad break. Would you rather have John Collins or DeAndre Ayton in a one-for-one trade for Jeremy Grant? DeAndre Ayton, not even close. Don't want John Collins. Actually, let me take that back. Let me not say I don't want John Collins. I would love to have John Collins. But if you're telling me I can get DeAndre Ayton or John Collins, I don't think it's close. I'll take DeAndre Ayton. I'm starting to see that people don't really think DeAndre Ayton's that good. DeAndre Ayton is really freaking good. Like, we've went through his synergy chart multiple times. He's been great. I mean, look at his numbers just strictly on Basketball Reference. Look at his efficiency. Like, I'm confused why people – I'm not confused. I know why it happens. Because everyone starts to watch the Phoenix Suns in the playoffs, not the 82-game season. So the fact that he struggled in the final few games against the Dallas Mavericks, now everyone thinks he sucks. I know how this works, but it's dumb. He's incredibly good. He's incredibly good. He's not in the first tier center, but I think he's probably number one in the second tier, and he has a chance to enter the first tier. Like, I don't think people understand how good DeAndre Ayton is. Maybe I'm higher on him than most, but I think DeAndre Ayton's easily better than John Collins. I don't think that's just me, though. Well, let me know what you guys think in the comment section down below or on Twitter at Kookie Hill. When we come back, we'll answer more of your guys' questions. But first, I have to tell you guys about another one of our sponsors, your guys' favorite sponsor, Built Bar. Don't you love a chewy, chocolatey brownie? Well, bar caramel brownie with caramel swirled on the top. So good. And what if I told you that you can have all of that chewy, chocolatey deliciousness plus 17 grams of protein? You're in luck because caramel brownie bars are available at Built.com right now, and you got to act fast because they're a fan favorite and a limited time flavor. I don't know when they'll go away. Forget about dessert. These are better than dessert. Plus, the macros are unreal. 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 4 grams of sugar. I'd replace a regular brownie with Built's caramel brownie bar in a heartbeat. And the best part? Caramel brownie bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Like, for real. With Built, you don't have to sacrifice taste for healthiness. You can have both of them. There are a million reasons that you should try Built Bars, but for now, let's just say that caramel brownie will rock your world, and that's not an understatement. With Built, taste is the new healthy. Go to Built.com to get your box of the caramel brownie bars right now. And we've talked about this before. It's not just the caramel brownie bars. They have all kinds of flavors constantly, constant new limited time flavors that you need to be checking out Built.com to make sure you're staying up on top of. It feels like every other week they have a new limited time flavor, along with their constant flavors and raspberry, peanut butter brownie, which is my favorite. You got raspberry, blueberry, all kinds of flavors. Make sure you're checking out Built.com to see all the delicious flavors that are also healthy for you. So again, go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15, and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. It's the best way to support the podcast. But let's go ahead and get right back into some of these questions. Let's go ahead and answer. We had 4 questions coming from YouTube. Let's go ahead and answer one of these ones. This one's from Cam Elder on YouTube. He says, what is the best case scenario in your opinion for the offseason? Where does that put us next season? I think the best case scenario in the offseason for me is you sign DeAndre Ayton. This is like if you want to try to compete next year. You want to try to win next year, I guess. So I think you could look at it in a different way of like best case scenario is setting your future up better. Maybe getting like more prospects or more assets moving forward. It all depends what you mean by best case scenario in your guys' opinion. I'm going to take this as you mean like be ready to win next year. I'd say signing DeAndre Ayton, replacing the team option guys with some other guys that fit the team better, that can shoot and spread the floor and be floor spacers and have some size. This is my opinion, guys. So I'm going to say drafting Shaedon Sharpe because I think he's the pick there. I think that's it really. Just draft Shaedon Sharpe, who's my pick, but overall it's just like make the right pick. I think Shaedon Sharpe is the right pick. Sign DeAndre Ayton, replace the team option guys with guys that fit in the rotation. And within signing DeAndre Ayton, I'm going to say that includes trading Jeremy Grant. If you can get DeAndre Ayton without trading Jeremy Grant, cool. Then you trade Jeremy Grant for another lottery pick or a first-round pick. Now you have 2 assets. You got DeAndre Ayton. You replace those team option guys. I think that's the best-case scenario for the Pistons offseason. I don't think that's realistic. I don't think it's possible to happen. But my best-case scenario, I think that would be my answer. Next one from YouTube is from Brian Parsons. It says, would you be disappointed if whoever the Pistons draft do not make an all-rookie team? No, I don't think that matters, to be honest. Rookie teams are there's a lot of people who don't make rookie teams. They're trying to be superstars and star. Like, the rookie teams are overrated. especially like making all rookie first. And I saw so much arguing going on over all rookie first team because Herb Jones wasn't on it and Jalen Green was. Like, it doesn't matter. It's really not that big of a deal. And the fact that, you know, guys like Herb Jones didn't even make her all rookie first team. You got Josh Giddey. Like, these guys are great, going to be great players in the NBA. So I don't think all rookie teams matter at all, to be honest. Like, if he makes all rookie first team, obviously that's a big thing. That's like, oh yeah, congratulations. But if he doesn't, I don't think it's like some big thing. So I know I don't care if he makes it or not. If he does make it, good, great. He had a great rookie season. If not, as long as they show that they're good. If the player shows that he has a future and gives you the reasons to believe that he's going to be great in the future, if he also then doesn't make all rookie team, I don't think anyone will care. So it depends, I guess, is what my answer should be. Next one is going to be from Detroit Dynasty. It says, how many minutes per game is Corey Joseph going to be getting next year? Hopefully zero. I think I speak for every Pistons fan is saying 0 minutes per game. Next question is from Dominic Sy. He says, any other viable Jeremy Grant trades aside from the trash 16th pick? I don't think the 16th pick is a trash pick. We just watched Torrey Weaver get Sadiq Bey at 19, got Isaiah Stewart at 16, got Isaiah Livers in the second round. Like, this dude's whole, like, his calling card is supposed to be his drafting. So getting him a mid-first round pick is a major win because he's supposed to be able to do something with it. So I don't know why everyone thinks that 16th pick is trash, but I mean, I don't know. I already told you guys, when I was trying to trade Jeremy Grant the ultimate mock draft, it was damn near impossible. I'm sure they're going to try, and they'll have more of a chance to do it in real life. Obviously, we're not like actual GMs, but I don't know. 16th pick, obviously Portland, they're going to continue to talk with Portland. Charlotte, I can see Charlotte possibly happening. The 13th and 15th pick, but I don't know. I think it's somewhere around there. I don't think they're going to get 7, though, from Portland. So I don't know. We'll see what happens, though. Next question is from Wes Holmes. He says, Bogdanovich and Grant are about 1 point apart in three-point percentage from this last season. So why is Bogdanovich seen as the supreme floor spacer while Jeremy Grant is not? Well, one, Bogdan had a quote-unquote off season this past year in shooting, a quote-unquote off season in shooting, where he shot 36.8%, basically 37% on 7.5 attempts this past season. The year before that, he shot 44% on 7.5 attempts a game. He's always floated around the 37% mark at seven attempts a game. So the volume in which he shoots them matters. Jeremy was only getting up five and a half attempts a game. So Bogdanovich was taking more threes at a higher percentage. Honestly, it's more of a two-point percentage increase, if you want to be honest. But then also, we went through Bogdanovich's synergy chart before on here. And I know some of you guys may be getting tired of me always reading off the synergy charts. I get it. Yeah. But synergy is where I really like looking at someone's synergy chart. I think that's it's a really good subscription to have. And a lot of his... He had a lot of shots coming off the dribble, coming off screens, etc. Those are tougher shots. Is he capable of hitting those? Yes, but they're harder to hit. And overall, just spot up opportunities. Like, if you just have him as a catch and shooter, if you're talking about floor spacing, he ranked in the 89th percentile. He was excellent, 1.18 points per possession, way higher than Jeremy Grant. All jump shots off the dribble, he was in the 80th percentile, much higher than Jeremy Grant. So he's just a way better shooter. He takes more threes. He takes tougher threes. He makes more of them. He can do more shooting, like coming off screens, shooting off the dribble. He's just an overall way better shooter than Jeremy Grant. I don't think it's close. I don't think most people would say it's close. And we'll answer one more question, and then we'll end the podcast there. This one is from Asuka Truly. It says, do you think if Killian hasn't or doesn't perform this season, that it's time to trade him? I think it will be time for the Pistons to trade him and give him a new fresh start somewhere else. But I think it'll be the end of Killian's career. No, I think Killian could become something somewhere else. We'll wait and see if that does happen. But yeah, I think if he doesn't improve at all this year and he doesn't perform, then yeah, I think the Pistons will probably like trade him. It also depends if he has any type of market. I could see them also just writing out his rookie contract and saying, you know what, screw it. We don't have to trade him if no one's going to give us anything for him. We'll just write out his rookie contract. But I wouldn't put it past the Pistons if he doesn't improve at all and he doesn't perform at all to just trade him this upcoming season if that's the case, if that's how things are going. But that's where we'll end the podcast there. We have a few more questions that I didn't answer, but we'll try to make those some podcast topics next week. I want to thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. And until next time, I'll see you guys later. Hopefully, the Golden State Warriors win this upcoming game for me, for my happiness at least. If the Boston Celtics win the finals, I might have to go into hiding. I don't know what will happen. I might have to go into hiding. I'll be very disappointed. I'll be very sad. So someone help Steph Curry, please. Enjoy the finals. Until next podcast, I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody.